This week on the Docs to Dads podcast, we take a step beyond parenting styles, gentle parenting, and pop psychology to dig to the heart of what we are trying to accomplish with parenting and how that should affect the way we interact with our spouse and our kids. What are we actually trying to teach our kids? We discuss this week on episode 53 of the Docs to Dads podcast. Hello and welcome to the Docs to Dads podcast, a health and wellness resource for any dad looking to actively engage with their health, the health of their children, and building a stronger, healthier community around their family. Each week, Dr. Scott, a board-certified pediatrician, will explore topics relevant to child health and how dads can be an active participant in their growth, development, and other issues that affect children and the whole family. Welcome back to the Docs to Dads podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Grant. Last week, I did a review of some of the psychology literature around parenting styles, focusing primarily on the work of Dr. Deanna Bomrand about how parents fall into different categories of parenting styles based on how they respond to two main areas, responsiveness and strictness. Today, I want to get beyond the behavior of that response and the way that we parent to the heart of what we're trying to teach our kids and the values that we're trying to instill in them through that parenting style and how maybe that should dictate the way that we interact with our spouse and with our kids as we sort of go on this parenting journey. But first, I want to take a chance to thank you for listening to the podcast. If you're enjoying the Docs to Dads podcast, there are two ways that you can help me reach more dads and support more families. First, go to the app that you're listening on right now and leave a review for the show. 5 stars on Apple or Spotify makes a very big difference with the almighty algorithm. And that is how we will get recommended to more listeners out there. And so if you've really enjoyed the show, I would really appreciate you taking the time to leave a friendly review and a high rating. Second, and I think this is actually even more important than the algorithm, that certainly helps, but if you could send this episode or some other episode that you really enjoyed to a friend who's a fellow parent, you know, those personal recommendations are really the best testimony that you can give, is to say, you know, I found this great new dad's podcast and I think you'd enjoy it too. Why don't you check it out? That would really mean a lot to me. And so, and it might just help your buddy passing the show on to find some support for a challenge that they're struggling with or something that they're dealing with or an anxiety, especially if they're getting ready to have their first kid. You can probably remember what that was like and all the questions that you have and what do I do and how do I move forward. If you could take the time to send this show to a buddy who's maybe expecting their first child, that would be really special too. So last week we talked about parenting styles, especially as it pertains to sort of how parents react to their children and to their behaviors. And certainly our actions don't happen in a vacuum as a parent. They happen in the context of relationships. And so how does our relationship with our wife affect the way that we think about parenting? How do our relationships with our kids' relationships with each other? And so I think there is some wisdom from Dr. Bomrand's work to organize her research this way. It's also a lot easier to measure these sort of behavior-based actions of parents than the intentions underlying them. I can understand all the sort of practical reasons why she chose to design her research in this way, and it makes it a little bit easier to sort of imitate that as a parent if you're trying to figure out what your parenting style is. But before you pick a parenting style from that episode and just say like, all right, this is going to be my parenting style and I'm going to be an authoritative parent from here on out, I want to just take a pause from that for a second. It struck me as I was reading the research in this area and as I was putting together last week's episode that there was not a lot of discussion about why we should react in certain ways to our kids. And certainly the data that shows that, you know, if you're high in responsiveness, that's good for your kid's mental health. And if you're high in strictness, that's good for your kid's academic aspirations, those kinds of things. Like, it's useful and it allows me to think about how I should respond maybe in certain situations, but I don't think that it helps quite as much with sort of the day to day, like what am I doing with my child and how am I helping them to grow? And so if parenting is oriented towards helping our children to grow and learn the skills that they need to be successful and happy as adults, then maybe that's a place to start from. And I think especially when you're thinking about how do I get on the same page with my partner and how do we make sure that we're pulling in the same direction, that can be a useful place to start as well. Because as parents, you know, we certainly want our kids to have happy childhoods, but we're also trying to just help our children become the best versions of themselves. And sometimes we fall into the trap of projecting ourselves onto our children. And so we put our strengths on them and then can't understand why they're not doing things as well as we could when we were kids or doing things as well as we would want them to do, because that's a thing that comes so naturally to us. I think we also sometimes project our faults onto them, our insecurities, our struggles. I think it's another useful way to sort of focus on who your kids are and what are their strengths and what are their challenges and how can you help them in those moments? And what are the sort of values or traits or habits that you want them to develop over time so that they can go on to be the best version of themselves and not a second-rate version of you? We want our kids to be better than us. That's what I want. I want all of my kids to do better than I've done. And different children, because they have different personalities and different strengths and different challenges, they may need different parenting styles to teach them those same values. And so it may not be quite the right way to think about it as to say, like, I have a particular parenting style, as I have this toolbox of techniques that I can employ because I know that when my son is challenged with something in particular, he needs a certain approach to help break him from his cycle and get him to like get back on track. And my daughter needs a different approach. And probably, he's too young now, but probably my other son is going to need a third different approach, right? If we can think about it more as like, what are the tools that are in my toolbox so that I can teach them the values that I want them to learn, so that I can teach them the skills that I want them to know, then we can kind of know what we're working towards. And this will look a little different for each family, but I think this is another place where it's one of those important conversations that parents should have and should probably have regular checkups on to update. You know, what are we working on? What are the skills or values that we want to be sure that our child has developed by the time they go off on their own? And that might be a weird thing to think about when your oldest kid, like mine, is 4, but I already see him sort of starting to make some of these choices consistently. And I start to see the patterns for him of like, how is he going to respond and react in difficult situations? The more I can start right now teaching him, like, how do we respond when bad things happen? How do we respond when we see a person who's in need? I can start teaching him those things now. And it's not going to stick, and he's not going to do it perfectly every time because he's 4. I'm a little more than 4, and I still don't get it right every day. But the more I can start to teach him along the way, the more hopefully he'll start to pick up why that's important to us, and that'll be helpful. And so there's a lot of different options available for what kind of values should you teach your kid. As I was thinking about this, the first thing that sort of jumped into my brain as an Eagle Scout who grew up as a young man at least once a week, you know, reciting the Scout law. You know, this is sort of a list of traits that we say that a Scout has, right? A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And those are the things that a Scout should aspire to be. And that looks different in different concepts. In the Christian tradition, we talk about some of these values as the virtues, right? The virtues, the primary ones are things like prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude, faith, hope, and charity. And different religions have different similar concepts within their teachings that are sort of the important values that they believe a child needs to be instilled with in order to be successful in the world. Parents in the United States might think about leaning on the founding principles of this nation, that we're all created equal, that we all have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that we have a country that's dedicated to liberty and justice for all. And certainly there's overlaps on all of these values. You sort of see these themes of justice and honesty and kindness. And I think that's a good place to start too. You don't necessarily need to pull from any one place. You can sort of just decide for yourselves within your family of like, what are maybe those really core values that you want your family to be focused on, that you can be working on. And you're going to be probably working on only one or two at a time. But if you know what they are, then it makes it easier in a particular moment to say, wow, my kid has done a really good job right now of displaying this core value. Like, I'm so proud of you for telling me the truth in that moment, right? Or you'll notice when they do something that's a bad choice that goes against one of those core values. And then you can use that as a teaching moment for that as well. And I have come to believe that I think it's helpful to actually use the words for the values that you're trying to instill so that children understand that what you are trying to teach them is tied to one of the core values of our family. We should always tell the truth because honesty is important in our family. When our friends call us and they ask for help, we're going to jump up and go help because we value being helpful in our family, right? And kids may not understand what prudence or temperance are. Even right now, I would need to do a little research to be able to like clearly define what those things mean. I have a sense of what they are, right? But I don't have to teach my four-year-old what prudence is right now. But when you break it down into smaller values, you can help them understand those and why they're important. And the other benefit to that from a practical kind of day-to-day perspective is that it also takes away some of the nagginess of parenting, because you're not just like constantly telling kids like, don't say that, that's rude. You can say like, instead of that's rude, you know, that turns into, it's important for us to be kind. We're sort of propping up something that's important and something that's good. We're holding up a target for them to aim toward. Because I said so is not great. But instead, if you turn that into a conversation about the importance of obedience to parents who are looking out for your best interest, right? It just sort of gives them a bigger reason beyond just because I said so. It's sort of not just an appeal to authority, but an appeal to like, this is what we believe in the family. Right now, my oldest has discovered lying as a way to avoid getting in trouble. And so we're focusing a lot of energy right now on talking to him about the importance of honesty and being trustworthy and always telling the truth. And I think there's an important difference between teaching kids to always tell the truth and teaching kids not to lie. It's this aspirational target that we're shooting towards. And in our family, we always try to say what we believe to be true. We always tell the truth. And that leads to maybe the next biggest point about this conversation. This is what we do in this family. And so if you want to teach your kids these values, there is one surefire way to increase your chance of success, and that is to live it out yourself as a parent and to make sure that your partner is on board with these are our core values, and we are going to live these out, and we want our kids to see us living them out. So if you want your kids to consistently use courteous language with their friends and their siblings, then you need to consistently use courteous language with your wife and with the other people in your life. If you want your child to be brave and stand up for people when they're in trouble, then they need to see you standing up and being brave for people who are in need. If you want your child to be reverent and to take a faith life seriously, they need to see that going to church and making time to pray is a priority for you. Because if it's not a priority for you, then it's not a core value and it's not something that they should take seriously. So if you're going to say the words, these are our core values, then you have to live that out. Kids will learn more from what they see you do than what you tell them to do. Then when you find yourself in a moment when your child is not listening, you can rely on those values and you can appeal to those core values as what you're trying to teach them as the basis for your discipline. And a reminder here that the word discipline comes from a Latin word that means student. So the focus in those moments should be on teaching your child why the choice they made was incorrect, what the correct choice should have been, and what the natural consequences of that choice were. And it should be, the primary focus should be towards teaching and not towards punishment. That's the big difference between discipline and punishment. And so from this paradigm, there's a lot of things that become very clear. It becomes very clear that hitting your child doesn't help teach any of those lessons. In fact, it teaches the opposite of what most of us are trying to teach, which is that when something bad happens, hitting is the way to solve that problem, or being bigger and meaner than the other person is how you solve that problem. Neither of those are lessons that most parents want to teach their kids. Yelling does not demonstrate kind, courteous language. That's not how we would want to resolve problems in our adult world when we run into other people. So why are we trying to resolve conflict with our kids in that way? Generally, removing the child from the situation and allowing them to co-regulate whatever emotions are happening in that moment, and then walking through, like, what are the choices that we could have made? What choice will we make next time? And how do we move forward dealing with whatever consequences there are? That's a more effective way to change their behavior going forward. And this is at the heart of so-called gentle parenting, this idea of the importance of sort of responsiveness and co-regulation, and all of those things are really important. Where I personally feel gentle parenting falls a little short for me is that it seems to elevate gentleness over a lot of the other values in most instances. And so for me and our family's core values, gentleness is one of those virtues that we want to teach our kids, along with kindness and courteousness. But it's not always the most important one. And sometimes parenting calls on us to have fortitude or to seek justice when our children have a disagreement. And this is not always going to feel gentle to every child involved, but the teaching of the core value of justice and fairness is more important in those moments for everyone involved in the conflict than gentleness. The other day, for example, my daughter pulled out a specific toy that she wanted to play with, and it is a toy that at one time was one of my older son's favorite toys. Occasionally, when she pulls it out, he gets a little possessive of it. She went on her own to the place where the toy was. She pulled it out by herself, and she sat down to start playing with it, and he immediately came over and pulled it away from her. And this is an issue that we're sort of working on with him anyway, is sort of taking things away from her when he doesn't feel like she should have something. And so in that moment, teaching the concept of justice and fairness was more important to reconciling their relationship, right? Because now my daughter's very upset because her brother has taken this toy away from her. And I needed to demonstrate to them that the fairest thing was my daughter went and pulled this toy out by herself. She wants to play with it, and she gets to play with it for a little while first. You don't get to just take it away from her. And that's the fair approach. And so I had to take the toy away from my son. And then he was really upset. But I needed to teach them in that moment the importance of fairness. That's just kind of one silly example that happened a couple of days ago. But when you look at it through the lens of what are our core values, it makes it a little bit easier to know what the right thing to do is in that moment. And I think sometimes, because my daughter's temperament is a little easier to manage sometimes, I might have fallen into the trap of saying, like, oh, just go find another toy to play with and sort of let the big one kind of have his way and kind of get away with that. But I think, one, as he's getting older and is able to understand things a little bit more clearly, it's time for us to be a little bit more intentional about the way that we talk to him in those moments. But also now my daughter is old enough to understand, like, when things are happening to her, whether they feel fair and whether it feels right. And so it has become more and more important for us to hearken back to those core values of our family when we're talking about how do we make changes. So I hope this discussion has given you some next steps to think about in your parenting journey. I'll just leave you with a couple of questions here that you should think about for yourself and talk about with your wife. But what set of values are you and your partner trying to instill in your children? Maybe it's some of the ones I talked about here in the episode. Maybe there's another set that has always meant something to you that you learned somewhere along the way, or maybe a set that you've kind of picked up from different important experiences in your life. Is it time maybe to set aside some time with your partner to talk about what are the core values of our family? What are the things we're trying to teach our kids? Is there a value that you find most difficult to teach your children? Some of these are really easy, I think, to teach. Others are a little bit more difficult. Is there one that you find particularly difficult? I'd love to hear about that. I'd love to have you reach out to me on social media or shoot me an email at docstodadspod@gmail.com. I'd love to continue this conversation with you if there's a particular value that you're struggling with. How do I teach this to my kids? How do we talk about it? I'd love to have that conversation with you. We'll talk about a few of them over the course of the next few months as we move into the holidays. We're going to do a couple of different things, but we're going to kind of keep up this theme as we move through the next several months. So I'd love to continue this conversation with you as we move through. Thanks as always to Phil Raban for editing the show and keeping us on track and getting this podcast to you every week. I'm so grateful to him for the work that he's doing. Tune in next week, where we will be celebrating my personal favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. We will take the themes that we've talked about in teaching values and apply them specifically to gratitude as a place to start, which I think is one of the most important things that we can teach our kids. And for me, is something that I focus a lot on with our kids and will continue to do, because I think developing a habit of gratitude is really important to long-term success and happiness. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. So be sure to join us. Until then, remember that what you do as a dad matters. Keep building healthier dads, happier kids, and stronger communities. Thanks.
The information included in this podcast and other Docs to Dads platforms is intended for your education and entertainment only. It is not intended as medical advice and should not replace a relationship with a primary care pediatrician or other provider who will give the most appropriate recommendations for your individual situation.